morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Farmers and ranchers are anxiously awaiting the news that the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is on its way to Congress for a vote of ratification and that Congress will get it done quickly. Nearly every day, the question comes up in conversations with farmers and Farm Bureau leaders, when is USMCA going to get done? USMCA was signed by all three countries almost exactly 1 year ago on November 30th, 2018. In the months since then, the Trump administration and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and others in Congress have been negotiating the details of congressional consideration, and we keep hearing that they're close to a decision about how to move things forward. Approving USMCA would be a win for Congress and, more importantly, a win for American agriculture. The trade climate has been turbulent, to say the least. Congress has an opportunity to calm the storm and bring some certainty to our trade outlook. Approving USMCA will show the world that the United States is back in business in the global marketplace. I'll be the first to admit that our initial goal in the negotiations to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement was simply to do no harm, or at least to keep the gains that we have made over the past 26 years under NAFTA, with agricultural exports quadrupling from $8 billion a year to $38 billion a year to Canada and Mexico. But as the negotiations went on and the final USMCA deal was announced, it became clear that we had opportunities to make major improvements for U.S. farmers and ranchers. First, the agreement is expected to grow U.S. exports by $2 billion a year. Any market growth is music to our ears these days. Second, it will fix long-standing problems faced by U.S. dairy products in assessing Canada's market, with an expected 3.6% of additional market access for U.S. dairy exports. Wheat also would see fairer treatment under USMCA thanks to an agreement in USMCA to grant U.S. wheat no less favorably than Canadian wheat. Looking south, Mexico and the U.S. agreed that all grading standards to agricultural products will be non-discriminatory. The USMCA would enhance science-based standards among all three nations for animal and health safety issues that come up in international trade. And for the first in any trade agreement, USMCA strikes a balance on geographic indications, food names that are protected based on where the food traditionally has been grown or produced. USMCA recognizes the importance of protecting certain products through geographic indications that have been used for a long time to indicate their uniqueness, while including commitments to ensure that geographic indications aren't abused and don't hinder any country's ability to use more common food names. Another first, the agreement includes measures to ensure cooperation and information sharing among all three nations concerning agricultural biotechnology and gene editing. Back in 1993, when NAFTA went into effect, today's biotech and gene editing advancements were hardly imaginable. We all know that a lot has changed with agricultural technology and technology in general over the past almost three decades. Finally, the U.S. and Mexico signed a side agreement in September to prevent dumping of underpriced tomatoes on the U.S. market, resolving a long-running trade conflict that harmed farmers in Florida and other parts of the Southeast. Further, balancing the scales between the U.S. and Mexico in new language on enforceable labor standards and wages, making working conditions better for those in Mexico and lowering the chance that cheap labor south of the border will kill good-paying jobs here in the U.S. Our farmers and ranchers need a trade win. Congress has a chance to win by delivering it. On October 29th, the Agriculture Department released the text of its interim final rule for regulations establishing a domestic hemp production program. Since this is an interim final rule, it will be in effect immediately upon being published in the Federal Register. The 2018 Farm Bill legalized the production of hemp as an agricultural commodity while removing it from the list of controlled substances. Industrial hemp is defined as cannabis sativa L and required to be below a THC threshold of 0.3%. Hemp production is legal in 46 states, and the Farm Bill allows Idaho, Mississippi, New Hampshire, and South Dakota to continue to ban production of the crop within their borders. Ever since the 2018 Farm Bill was signed, farmers, regulators, stakeholders, and law enforcement have been operating in a state of uncertainty as they waited for USDA to release this guidance. As is always the case in such circumstances, the rule doesn't make everyone totally happy, and there are still a few lingering questions. However, the department deserves significant credit for putting together a comprehensive set of regulations for a complicated issue in a relatively short period of time. To help better support a livestock industry facing constant and unfair criticism, often from environmental groups aiming to put an end to livestock production, the Illinois Farm Bureau partnered with several state livestock organizations to create a data-driven campaign showcasing the positive impacts of the state's livestock sector. According to Lauren Lurkins, Director of Environmental Policy for the Illinois Farm Bureau, certain groups in our state took every opportunity to fight proposals to build new livestock facilities and tried to pit neighbor against neighbor through lawsuits. They tried to scare people away from entering the livestock industry and encourage those already involved to leave. During 2019, nearly 86 million acres of corn, 13 million acres of cotton, and 70 million acres of soybeans were covered by crop insurance, accounting for approximately 95% of corn acres and cotton acres and 92% of soybean acres planted in the U.S. Collectively, farmers paid more than $2.3 billion to cover these crops under crop insurance. Given the adverse growing conditions experienced this year across the U.S., the Agriculture Department is projecting national average corn yields will fall by 5%, soybean yields will decline by 7%, and cotton yields will drop by nearly 4%. Lower projected yields combined with lower crop prices this harvest will reduce actual farmer revenues in 2019. To help manage this revenue risk, a large majority of farmers purchase revenue-based crop insurance policies. Due to lower crop prices, lower yields, and record high prevented plantings, USDA's current projection is for federal insurance indemnities for all crops and livestock in 2019 to total $10.5 billion. If realized, crop insurance indemnities in 2019 would be the highest since the drought-impacted years of 2012 and 2013, and the third highest over the last decade. The comment period on the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed supplemental to the Renewable Fuel Standard is an opportunity for farmers to tell the agency how the proposal fails to fully recognize the administration's considerable use of small refinery waivers and the negative effect this has on the integrity of the RFS program and the entire renewable fuels industry. AFBF encourages farmers and others who are negatively affected by EPA's excessive use of small refinery waivers to tell the agency it must use a rolling average of actual small refinery exemptions to ensure accurate accounting for exemptions in 2020 and beyond. The comment period is open through November 29th. Farming looks mighty easy when your plow is a pencil and you're 1,000 miles from that cornfield. It's been 63 years since President Dwight D. Eisenhower delivered that quote in a memorable speech in Peoria, Illinois. There have been many changes in agriculture since 1956. In the 1950s, farmers made up then 12% of the workforce. Today, farmers and ranchers make up just 1.3% of the U.S. labor market. In a time where consumers are truly curious about where their food comes from, farmers have a massive opportunity to reach those who truly are 1,000 miles from a cornfield. With 230 million active users in the U.S. alone, social media allows farmers to create connections like never before. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.